Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to Colossians 3, where we will find ourselves in the consideration of verse 4. And that will be on page 4 of your notes towards the end down there. We'll pick up. All right, let's do what we need to do, so that you as a believer in Jesus Christ can benefit this evening. And we are told to, in Scripture, lay aside or put aside those things which are an encumbrance to us running the race. And that, of course, refers to overruling your sin nature and also putting aside any concerns, whether they be legitimate or not, and discipline yourself to focus in on what we have before us this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves together and fulfill the divine imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. Thank you for this opportunity, the challenges of life, so that we can glorify you in time before men and reap eternal life. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, what we have here in this particular verse is Paul speaking of the rapture. This comes within a context of seeking the things which are above. Seeking the things which are above is to be occupied with the production of SG3 through the intake and application of Bible doctrine. The things above refer to those things that accompany our salvation. In addition to the benefits accrued for the individual who is a believer in Jesus Christ and all the promises related thereto, the believer in time has the option to accumulate eternal rewards. These things are over against preoccupation with and making priority number one the things of the world. The things of the world are to take a back seat to the things above. And by a back seat, I mean that they are to be considered as, while we use the world, we should not be so wrapped up in the things of the world, and that covers lots of stuff, to the extent that it interferes with our face-to-face teaching, interferes with the function of our spiritual gift, the application of Bible doctrine, and so forth and so on. And in extreme cases where believers are called upon to sacrifice a lot, still we are to sacrifice whatever and live under whatever humble set of circumstances that might fall to us, and still pursue the plan of God and not take the first opportunity to leave Bible doctrine to feather our nest down here. So that's the big deal. The big deal is seeking the things which are above, which obviously indicates the seeking part is learning the directive will of God, how you should think, how you should talk, how you should live and operate as a believer. These things are in heaven already in some form, which I cannot define for you. No one else can that I've come across. These things are where Christ is. The Lord will return and he will have his reward with him. Now, if you're thinking of piling up a whole lot of stuff that you'd need, you know, several moving vans to transport, I think you can forget that. It is not like that, but it is glorious. I don't know what form it will take. Maybe it will be in some form where you just, I don't know. I can't tell you that. So it isn't, you know, a burden to haul around, keep track of, that it will be something that is so special and so transcends the things and what, how we relate to the physical things down here. That's all I can say. We are told to lay up treasure in heaven, and we are told to keep seeking those things which are above. That would indicate, as far as the Colossians were concerned, that this quest is not completed with them simply becoming believers. Their assurance of being in heaven and having all those basic benefits are already secured. But seeking the things which are above and setting your mind on these things, not on the things that are on earth. That's where often the conflict comes in. What am I going to put first in my life? Pursuing the truth in a local church, functioning as an active member of that local church, interacting with whoever's there to whatever extent, and applying Bible doctrine and dealing with all the things people have to deal with in their lives. And not allowing the things down here to overturn that. That's what I'm trying to say. Allowing no person, no situation, no opportunity, no job, no, there are careers that are definitely incompatible with NPR. Being an airline pilot is incompatible. It's an illustration. It's completely incompatible. You're all over the place and here once in a while. So I would suggest you don't pursue that. There are jobs and there are things that require people to continually be moving all around the place. Some people are only home on the weekend because they're out, whatever they're doing. Those kind of things are incompatible with NPR. So there's a whole list of things that should be off your list. And if your current occupation messes you up in this regard, then you better get on your knees and start praying. And then if you suddenly get fired, you'll know God was in it. Laid off. That'll make it simple. People so cling to these things. You know, and it's just a denial of God's ability and grace when he sees believers who are willing to set aside that which is theirs legally, but it undermines them spiritually, then what do they put first? They put first the things of this world. And they can, oh, you can rationalize anything. I'm just doing what's best for my family. No, you're not. What's best for your family is for you to set an example, be a spiritual leader, and be in Bible class. That's what's best for your family. I had a believer years ago come to me in some distress because they no longer had their nice benefit package civil servant job. They no longer had it. And they were trying to keep things going, and you know, they had to step down to, you know, lawn care, which doesn't tend to have a lot of benefits, right? Cosmically. And this person was under some stress and went to a deacon, my deacon, and asked him, because this person was being tempted because they had a big fat offer in Dallas. And they would have to leave their local church. And the deacon did not encourage them. you endure. You bear up under it. God will take care of you. Maybe not tomorrow and accustomed to what you've been used to. You got to do what's best for your family. That was his advice. This believer came to me and said, I was in shock. I mean, it was a blow to me. I was expecting another believer to encourage me to stay in the circumstances that I currently was in. If they were to change for my temporal betterment, then fine. But I was being tested, and I wanted encouragement, and I went to your deacon, and he told me this. By this time, he was no longer my deacon and no longer in the church. Another person told me this similar thing. These are deacons from the past. They're not here anymore. You can spend the evening trying to guess which ones it is. I don't care. And this person had an opportunity to go elsewhere. And should I stay? And so they undermine what I've taught from the pulpit about NPR. By saying such junk-like, well, sometimes you have to. Jack shoots with a broad shotgun, and it doesn't always apply to air. Blah 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 blah. Undermine their whole deal. They didn't take that guy's advice. He can bear that. He can take that to the bema seat. That kind of junk. I'm up here to tell you that you are to bear up regardless of whatever circumstances, and in that is your best interests in the long haul. Maybe not in the short term. If you're just talking about short term, then there's all kinds of sin and stuff you can jump into. There are people out here doing it all the time, doing shortcuts, doing this, laying out their plans. And it does not include God. It does not include the truth. And as we saw last night from that verse for all of you, for your information, this is going to be the legacy that could be written over so many people, it isn't funny. Their glory will be their shame. They will get to do the hangdog, step back, 1 John 2:28, and you could even be sitting here and be in that boat. That's up to you. I'm just a spokesman. So that you can say, well, I'm without excuse. The issues and the lines are clearly drawn. Now, what are you going to do? There are those who say they like this church, but they won't move here because they can't get the kind of job they want here. It just isn't opening up. And it's about, I want to take care of my family. You need to take care and be like the, like Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Otherwise, you're just a wimp. You're just a wimp. People move all over the place for things. I know people that have moved long distances and the job fell apart before they even got there. Well, that was going to be an opportunity, wasn't it? God wasn't in it because they were moving away from where they ought to be. Because I don't care if they bailed out of here 20 years ago, whatever many years ago, yesterday, you got to come back to point one, where you need to be. That's where you need to be. That didn't change. This is your gold mine. This is the mother lode here. Not some fancy job in another town in a $500,000 house or whatever. These people live in all these big places doing best for their family. Yeah, they are not. They are not. Being best for your family is like Abraham, Sarah, we're packing up. And we're leaving her. And we're taking everything with us. And we're going to a place I can't even tell you. God's going to show me. Because I trust Him that much. He is the kind of God that called me and told me that He was going to give me a country and do all this for me. He didn't tell me where it was. He didn't give me a map. He didn't name the place. And I walked out of Ur by faith. I'll bet everybody around him at New Abraham, and they were all well-to-do. Abraham's family and everything, they were well situated in that metropolis. I bet they all thought, he's crazy. He's got it made here. His family, and especially his family, the close ones. He had a couple brothers, whoever knows who all else, running their big stupid mouths. Because people don't know that we are on a journey that's going to end up at the Bema seat, heaven, back on earth, and on a new earth. And all this that I, you, all the rest of us have accumulated will be dropped behind, right down to our underwear. We're out of here. Nothing. And that's the new future. And it is greater, according to the Bible, than anything you can even ever, ever, ever put your hands on, put your eyes on, imagine. It will make everything else that people have achieved in this world look like a dump. What God has for us, and that's the things above, people. That, and we are close, close, close. So whatever you got to suffer, whatever you got to go through, rejoice in it. Instead of hang dog, I'm old and I got these problems and blah, blah, blah. Shut up. You rebound and get in fellowship and get that eternal weight of glory. You're going to be 35 forever. Can you handle that? So you're 85 now. So what? All your aches and pains and all other stuff going on. You know, that's how I pray for you. I pray for categories. Old people. You say, well, you're an old person. Yeah, but I'm not, you know, beat all to hell. Yet. No. So, I may be before this is over. I don't know. But what I pray for you is that you're smart enough to rebound, get in fellowship, know you're not as mobile as you once were. A lot of us aren't. You get in fellowship and you make it your objective to pray, pray, pray. Read your Bible. How can I be an encouragement to others? And while I can't do a lot of things physically due to the limitations imposed upon me due to the aging gene and other circumstances in life, I can crank up SG3. I don't care if you have one of these things that's going around now. See? I'm not to judge. I don't know if it's sin in the life. I don't know if it's not. I don't care, it's not that I don't care about you. It's just I don't care. You figure it out. But whatever you're going through, in fellowship. I've had to lug around all my life the effects of polio. It has produced certain limitations and problems with regard to me physically. But I no longer feel bad about it. Because even that, there's reward for this. For everything that's thrown at us, we just have to try to get ourselves in fellowship and do this. Believers around here might mistreat you. They may be rude. They may see you in the hall and ignore you. Okay, they got a problem. That's their problem. Don't take it personally. Just move on. Pray for them. Be bigger than they are. There are so many ways and so many angles here at producing SG3. So many. I'll keep harping on it. I'll keep pointing it out to you. So you are spurred to go through your day and to constantly try to keep tabs on, am I in fellowship? Whether you're enjoying yourself or it's onerous or it's routine, whatever it is, do your job as unto the Lord. If you're occupied with Jesus Christ, that's very helpful. I'm doing this as unto Him and not unto people. Because when you start doing things as unto people, you've had it. All right, now, we come down to verse 4. After he has talked about that their life is hidden with God in Christ, indicating their security, they are dead to the world and its nonsense and its priorities. We see it all the time, don't we? The world has its priorities. Are you going to watch the game? What are you going to do? I'm thinking about not watching it. There's a protest. I don't want to see Lady Gaga at halftime. As Trump said about Madonna, she's disgusting. And I think that's probably the divine viewpoint. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. So why would I want to give them my time, my attention? They hate God. They've manifested it through their art form. So why do I want to do that? It's up for you. I'm not going to judge you. It's just a game. It's just part of the distraction of the cosmos. I really think I'm going to walk away from it. I'll hear the score afterwards and I could care less who wins. I really could care less. All those guys, all those people, the smallest money, and all the people that are shoving calories down their throat with their TV on, are watching all this stuff, they ought to be in Bible class. And they're about to step into the tribulation. And they are asleep in the dark. They are as blind as a bat. They care about everything but their spiritual life, including Christians. We're keeping our eyes, if we are, on a bigger goal, an eternal goal. That's all temporal. It'll come, it'll go, and people forget about it. When Christ, who is your life, corrected translation, by the way, has been made manifest, corrected translation, then you also will be manifest with Him in glory. In this connection, at the bottom of page 4, after dealing with the hidden factor, what's it mean to be hidden? We move on. In verse 4, point 54, Paul presents a temporal framework. Adverb when to describe the event when the hidden will be made manifest. Christ is hidden in the heavens, isn't he? That doesn't mean he isn't there. He's in the heavens. He's hidden from the earthly scene for now. But he will be manifest to the earthly scene, to the chagrin of millions and billions. He's coming back. And he will be made manifest, first to the church, and then to the nations. The two advents. When he comes back the second time, every eye will see it. And they won't need a big screen. It'll be in the sky. It'll be an invasion of this earth from heaven. 55. Note the significance of the temporal adverbs in this verse. When and then. 54. Christ stands in opposition to your life and tells us that the life Christ has is fully shared by those who are His. Therefore, another example, when you become a believer, you share the destiny of Jesus Christ through positional sanctification. You share His glory, wherever He is and whatever He's doing. If He's ruling over the nations during the 1,000 years, you'll be with Him, functioning in some capacity in the administration of that kingdom, and so forth. The basis for our future resurrection is the fact that we have eternal life within us based on the salvation adjustment. 58, not only is our life hidden with Christ by God, but Christ Himself is hidden in heaven. Is revealed is reference to the person of Christ is an aorist passive subjunctive of panerao, meaning to make something manifest. Point 60, the temporal adverb when, with the aorist subjunctive, indicates an event yet to be determined from the perspective of when Paul wrote. Now, we have more Bible doctrine than Paul did. Yeah, we do. Paul didn't have the book of Revelation. New Testament canon was still in formation. He didn't have that. He had enough, but he didn't have that. We've got the whole enchilada, all of it, the whole deal. Therefore, we can figure out some stuff as the Holy Spirit has been promised to us to reveal doctrine and to show us things to come. And we're on the cutting edge. I stake my reputation as a pastor teacher. We're on the cutting edge. We are almost out of here. You can go back and study it for yourself. Let every man be convinced on his own accord and in his own way. You can doubt anything. You can doubt your salvation. You can doubt up is up and down is down. You can doubt anything. You can doubt the existence of material things. Take some philosophical course and buy into it. The adverb when, then. The verb is revealed. It's used in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, anybody that's in heaven, Christ has been revealed to them in all of His glory, in His resurrection body, as they are in heaven, and they are observing Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, turn there. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body. Well, there you go. There is rewards for the things you did in your body. Huh. According to what he has done, whether good or bad, or you could say whether good or worthless. Well, I got a pile of worthless. I do. Everybody does. Even the best believers have a pile of worthless. That's going to be burned up. That's human good. That's the day you were out of fellowship all day, did your job, went home, still were out of fellowship because you were, whatever, negligent, running under your lust pattern, cranking out mental attitude sins towards somebody that did something to you. On and on and on and on and on and on. That's all human good. It will all be burned. But as a positive believer, you've been shown how to build up eternal rewards. You can get eternal rewards just by being kind to a believer in this church. Considerate and kind. Versus other stuff that people do. Taking an opportunity to, you know, jam them, poke them, say something nasty, put down. Called the person for encouragement, what'd I get? I don't think I'm going to stick my hand in that fire anytime soon. And they could have got SG3 by encouraging you. With doctrine, not human viewpoint crap. And 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, there's your appears again, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. Context, he's dealing with the modus operandi for pastor teachers. This is things you got to do, fellas. If you're gonna get the unfading crown of glory, wreath of glory. So it's used in those two verses. Christ would be revealed to the entire church at his appearing. For the first time, all church age believers will see Christ as a group. The noun appearing likewise is used in connection with the rapture and the Bema seat. 1 Timothy 6:14. Paul encouraging his protege, Timothy, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8. We read it numerous times, but anyway. 4:8. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. The day of the rapture. Be a day on the calendar. We've got it marked in the fall of 2021. On that day. And not only to me, but all. Also to all who have loved his appearing. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope. Another synonym for the rapture. The blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. 1 John 2:28. And that's the one I often reference to document the fact that there's going to be a lot of believers who are not going to have a good time initially at the Bema. They're going to like being raptured. They're going to be like appearing before Christ. Oh, but guess what? These people know what's happening. They've got doctrine. They know that is the judgment seat. They know it's an evaluation for their life on earth. They know what they should have done. And they didn't do it. So you can't think you're going to come off very good in that event, can you? Those of us, on the other hand, who knew what we were supposed to do and did it to the end, we're going to stand there. Not, oh, I hope it goes okay. No, we're going to stand there with confidence. The kind we have down here about Bible doctrine. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him. That's a reference to stay in fellowship. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. There's the document your shame. And in 3:2, another verse. Beloved, now, right now. This is unlike some faiths. We just have to die to figure out if you're a Christian. And we'll light candles for you and pray for you. Because you don't quite know yet. Gee. And you go to that church? And had a kind of a plan they advocate? Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know, however, that when he appears, we will be like him. Because we will see him just as he is. Face to face. Resurrection body, Jesus Christ. Glorified humanity, John Doe. Resurrected body, glorified humanity. All of us. All of us. And compare 2 Timothy 2:10. Going back here for a minute. How about that? For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. Paul says, whatever I've got to go through, whatever misery, suffering, adversity I got to go through as an apostle, I'm going through it. So, for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. This is not phase one salvation. This is the other deliverance. The two hurdles that ideally you'd like to, you've already made the one, that's you believed in Christ. The second one is deliverance from what? Shame and loss of the Bema Seat. Simple. See how we put this together in the Bible and you get it all figured out? That's great. Thank God for it. Then advances the scene to include believers with Him in glory. You also indicates that church-age believers will share in this revealing of Christ at His coming. Will be revealed has as its subject the Colossian saints. You will be revealed in your final, ultimate glory. You will be revealed. The church is described in her ultimate sanctification under the analogy to the most glorious bride you ever laid your eyes on. She will be without spot or wrinkle, no sin nature, no aging gene. She will be perfect in everything. She will have no hidden defects, let alone ones that are visible. This is the bride to end all brides. A bride worthy of Jesus Christ. All right? That's pretty obvious. I hope you take this home with you and I hope you think about it. In glory refers to heaven, where the throne of God is located. 1 Timothy 3:16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He, Jesus, who was revealed in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, that's His resurrection, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory, ascension to the right hand of preeminence and dignity above all others for all time. Right after the rapture and the Bema Seat, the church will travel with Christ to the throne room of the third heaven. 1 Timothy 4:7. Then, afterwards, we who are alive, because the context is the technically the dead in Christ get their resurrection bodies a second before we do, or whatever. But it's very close. We who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that's up. Last time I checked, clouds and air, that's all up. We're not staying on the earth. We will meet Him in the air. We will meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. And Philippians 3:21, who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of His glory. How? By the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. It's not going to be heavy lifting for God to resurrect all the remains of all the believers, that their bodies are re-inhabited with the souls that those that have died, and us, wherever we're at, who are still alive. And we read 1 John 3:2 earlier, Beloved, now we are children of God. So it's nice, but a lot of people, they don't have that confidence that we do. I'm a child of God right now. Okay? Child of God. I am born into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I've been regenerated. I don't have to look back on that. It's mine. We are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. See, I can't describe in real concrete detail all the specifics of the resurrection body. Yeah, you're going to have two eyes and two ears and two all those things externally. But how it's all, you know, there's no biology textbook for this one. There's no physiology textbook for this one. If someone could incognito be in a resurrection body and walk into a doctor's office for an exam, he'd freak out. He would think it was an alien. Because it's so different. You sat here this whole time and you didn't breathe any air. What's this? So it's fun that there is this mystery aspect that we can't see all of the actual particulars. because it's reserved for when it happens. And that's the way some things are. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. So that's an assurance right there. That's concrete. That's in stone. We're going to be like Christ. He has no sin nature, right? So just make your list up. He has a body that is capable of traveling to the heart of the earth, all the way to heaven, go through walls, appear, disappear. That's about as far as I can go now. Eat food or not. All the things you might even fantasize about, and yet, that's it. We will be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is, face to face. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.